Before we get into the nitty-gritty, please, if staff can put up into the AC Connect the schedule of things to come, where we're at, so we can all be in the same place. Just to remind us all where we're at. There is a slide that has some good, excellent. So this excludes today, as we can see. So this slide clearly sets out the next steps in our work as a group, towards ICANN 63 and beyond what we're tasked to do. So 10 October, it's, just before we all get on planes to go to Barcelona. And then we have our face-to-face in Barcelona, where we're going to keep on looking at, feedback from the community, from all of you, on where we're at in our draft initial report, and beyond Barcelona. So this is where we're at, and if there is no objections to the agenda, which is basically we're going to go in document and see your comments and your insight on the language there so far that you have created, that we all have worked for. So if there's any objections on the agenda, please state so now. Seeing no objections, please let's just dive into the document. We have a good attendance today. This is great. Welcome to all. So, right in front of us, draft of initial report section C, D, and E, 27 September 2018. So I hope most of us have looked at this document and read it through. These are your recommendations. These are, the language that we have as the community come up so far as a work track. I think we can just go right through it, recommendation by recommendation. And maybe before we do that, does anybody want to discuss a particular section first? I see no hands to that. So I guess we'll go in order, one by one. Can we just go in order rather than jump around? Okay, yeah, okay, very good, Paul. So let's go in order and not jump around. All right, so preliminary recommendation one. As described in recommendations 2-9, okay, Emily, you have your hand up, go ahead.
Thanks, this is Emily from staff. I just wanted to provide a little bit of context, and I apologize, my printer is running in the background, for this document, because I think it'll maybe head off some of the questions that will come up. So this is section C, D, and E. Those are the preliminary recommendations, options, and questions for community input. And this follows more or less the same format that we used for the subsequent procedures initial report. So we're only sharing three sections of a total of six sections of the report at this time. And there are a couple of comments that we've already encountered that have said, this seems to be missing or that seems to be missing. I raised this point or added pros and cons for a specific thing, and I don't see it here. And I just wanted to be clear that there's a lot more coming. The deliberation section, which sort of talks about a lot of the different perspectives, will capture a lot of that. So this is just three sections of six, and it might be good once we have all the sections together to look at that holistically and find the gaps. But for now, just focusing on, are these the recommendations we want to put forward at this point, noting that, one, no consensus calls have been taken and that the recommendations can change after the public comment period. Two, you know, the option section is basically saying, here are some places where people have put out a bunch of alternatives. And the question for all of you is, are these the right alternatives that we should be putting out for community comment? Are any missing? Should any be eliminated? And then finally, section E is the questions for community input. And the broad question there for all of you is, are we asking the right questions to the community? Do these questions make sense? Are there any key questions that are missing here? Noting that anything in the report, including the deliberation section, any point raised, are subject to community comment, and members of the community are welcome to say whatever they like and weigh in on any of those items. So this is not the only thing that we're asking for feedback on. It's the entire report. So I hope that's helpful as we go through. And if you have any questions, I'm happy to answer them. Thanks.
Thank you, Emily. Very, very helpful. So since I'm looking at the document in my whole screen, I can't really see the Adobe Connect unless I collapse. So Martin, or if you can flag any comments in the chat or... Okay, this is moving around a lot. Wait a second. Okay. I lost control of this. Can we go to the beginning here? Emily, could you put the document in the correct section, because it, you know, I moved it around, I think. There we go. Okay. Okay, so we have the language here from preliminary recommendation number one. As described in recommendations 2-9, the word track remains unless or until decided otherwise, maintaining the reservation of certain strings at the top level in upcoming processes to delegate new GTLDs. As described in recommendations 10-13, the word track recommends unless or decided otherwise, requiring applications for certain strings at the top level to be accompanied by documentation or support or non-objection from the relevant government or public authorities. Any comments on this? Any comments on this section? I see no hands up. I see a hand up by Christopher. Christopher, go ahead.
Hi, good evening, everybody. Christopher Wilkinson for the record. First of all, just let's check that you can hear me.
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, because there's sometimes... Chris?
Keep on going, Christopher.
I would prefer at this stage just to take the comments that I've already made as read, and I noticed that at least in one case the staff have already put that in as a flyer to the on the right-hand side of the text. I don't know how to describe that. And on this particular recommendation number one, I queried the use of the word certain, because that implies that there will be other strings that are not protected. And I think that we do not yet have a consensus on that point. So I suggested deleting the word certain. But I'm not going to take the call's time on repeating all the points that I made in writing, which you already have received. Thank you.
Thank you, Christopher. Paul, go ahead.
Thanks. Paul McGrady for the record. Is there a way for us to make it clear here that we are talking about the applicant guidebook as written rather than as applied? I don't think we want to preserve necessarily, at least a lot of us don't, restrictions on strings as applied. And there may be some consensus here, I'm not sure, for it to be as written, but I definitely think we need to make that distinction. And I've asked that question, I think, in a previous work group, and I think everybody says that we mean, you know, as the applicant guidebook is currently
Thank you,
written.
Paul, for your comment. Noted. Any other comments right now or on this? Comments on the comments made by commenters? So let's I see no hands, so let's move forward. So, preliminary recommendation number 2, the Word Track recommends continuing to reserve all 2-character letter-letter ASCII combinations at the top level for existing and future country codes. The starting point of these recommendations is section 2.2.1.3.2, string requirements, part 3.1 of the 2012 applicant guidebook, which states applied for GTLD strings in ASCII must be composed of 3 or more visually distinct characters. 2-character ASCII strings are not permitted. To avoid conflicting with current and future country codes based on the ISO 3166-1 standard, the Word Track's recommendation specifically addresses letter-letter combinations because the focus of the Word Track is on geographic names. The Word Track considers letter-letter combinations to be within the scope of this subject area. The Word Track notes that Word Track 2 of the new GTLD Subsequent Procedures PDP Working Group is considering 2-character letter-letter combinations. This recommendation is consistent with the GNSO policy contained in the introduction of the new generic top-level domains policy recommendations from 8 August 2007. It is also consistent with provisions in the 2012 applicant guidebook. So, I see any comments from the community. There's a comment, there's a hand up by Susan. Susan, go ahead, please.
Yes, thank you. Hi, it's Susan Payne. And apologies to people. Having been away, and I'm afraid I haven't had time yet to catch up, and so if I'm saying something which has been addressed in another conversation, then I do apologize. But it strikes me on reading this that it would be... we don't give any explanation of why we're making this recommendation. I mean, we do say at the bottom that it's consistent with GNSO policy on the introduction of new GTLDs from 2007, but we don't really explain why we are making this policy recommendation, and I do think it would be beneficial for us to do so. We did have quite a lot of discussion on this about, the existing policy in relation to CCTLDs and indeed the work of the cross-community working group on the protection of country and territory names that was meeting before this PDP kicked off. And there's no reference to any of that. And I think it would be helpful in order to kind of explain to the wider community why we've come down to this recommendation, you know, what our rationale is. And I don't think we have that yet. But maybe it comes somewhere else, and in which case I apologize.
Thank you, Susan, for your comment. I don't know if Martin or staff can take a stab to answer Susan, but the discussions have been very thorough so far, and they're reflected in our work and the rationale for the discussions themselves, and these are the kind of concerted languages so far. I don't know if Martin wants to take a stab at this, or maybe staff.
Hey, Javier, this is Emily from staff. Yeah. I know my hand is kind of in a different spot than the rest of them, so
yeah,
it can be hard to see.
So
I just wanted to clarify a little bit more about the structure of the report and where some of the different elements are going to sit. So in this section C, we're really just putting the text of the recommendations. A lot more context is going to be provided in the deliberation section, which is section F. And that's coming soon. The leadership team is now finalizing the text of that section and some of the other sections and all that sort of background and the different positions, the pros and cons, and so forth will be covered in there. So I think once we look at this as a total package, if there's missing pieces, we can certainly fill in those gaps. But for the moment, if it's possible to sort of focus on just the text of the recommendations for this section, and then look at it in the context of the deliberations down the road once we're just a little further along. That should give a fuller picture. And actually, since I'm already talking, I'll just touch also on the fact that Jorge Cancio also had a comment on this recommendation speaking to letter-digit combinations and potential confusion. And I just wanted to mention that that's something we've talked about this a little bit before, but this is an item that's being covered by the full working group and was discussed in Work Track 3. It was an item that was covered in the public comment that recently went out, and quite a lot of responses have come in. So the full working group is going to be considering all those comments, further discussing it, refining recommendations. But this group has determined, is staff's understanding, that because they don't want to have parallel discussions and parallel processes on the same issue, that that would just be handled by the full working group and not by Work Track 5. So I hope that that clarifies, and I think we can drop a note also into the deliberation section, and maybe we already have, but I'll double check to make sure that that's mentioned and that the reference to the full working group initial report is in there. So I hope that that's helpful. Thanks.
Thank you, Emily. Susan, I hope this answered your question. Very thorough answer by Emily. I know Greg has his hand up, but I'm going to give the word to Martin quickly. Martin, go ahead.
Thanks, Javier, and thanks, Greg. I'll just step in just quickly to add, in terms of process that's occurred, and as a reminder, because I realize that it's happened over, perhaps for many, what was a holiday period, we were running a working document that was containing various deliberations. And what we said was that everybody was to review that, provide any final comments or clarifications on that document. And then what we were doing was transferring elements of that into the initial report. So that part where the deliberations will be added, as Emily quite rightly said, will be at a latter point. But these are based on all of those deliberations from the document that we stored, that everybody reviewed, had an opportunity to clarify. Now we've moved it into, or will be added as a separate section to this report. What we're focusing on today is to make sure that the recommendations, the options, and any questions that we put across are clear, understood, that if we still want to debate some finer items to that, let's do that. But it's the ultimate idea here is to be able to produce a product that we are happy as a group to put out to the community for their comments. So I just wanted to add that as well. Thank you very much, Javier.
Thank you, Martin, and welcome to all that have joined since the call started, including my chairman, Alan Greenberg. So, Greg, please go ahead.
Thanks, Greg Shatton, for the record. I think this is a minor comment, but looking at the last bullet point where it says that the Work Track notes that Work Track 2 is considering two-character letter-number combinations. Shouldn't this also refer to number-number combinations as well, since that would be essentially the universe of two-character combinations would be letter-letter, number-number, and number-letter, assuming we're not using ordering, in which case we have to distinguish letter number from number letter, but hopefully we're not going to be quite that pedantic or specific. So in any case, that would be my suggestion, is to say two character letter number and number number combinations in the last bullet point. I also see Yop's note that we don't describe the difference between a letter and a character. I guess that's a question of how knowledgeable we expect the readers to be. But if we want to, you know, drop a footnote that a character is a letter or a number, I would have no objection to that. And ASCII, if we want to get into ASCII as a concept, that's a whole different kettle of fish, since that's really numbers, a numbering system. But in any case, I don't even need to get there. Maybe we just say that by character we mean letters and numbers. Thanks.
Thanks, Greg. That's a great flag. You know, it's important to clarify these terms. Very good. Okay, so that's noted. I see no other hands, Greg, lower your hand, please. So that's erased from there. Okay, so we can carry on. Preliminary recommendation number 3. The Work Track recommends continuing to consider the following category a country and territory name which is reserved at the top level and unavailable for delegation, as stated in the 2012 Applicant Guidebook, Section 2.2.1.4. That's small in my screen, but I'm sure they're there. And there's a bullet. Alpha 3 code listed in the ISO 3166-1 standard. This recommendation is a revision to the GNSO policy contained in the introduction of the new generic top-level domains policy recommendations from 8 August 2007. However, it is consistent with provisions in the 2012 applicant guidebook. Any hands, any comments on this section? I see none. I see a hand up by Greg. Go ahead.
Thanks. Greg Chatton again. And I believe we discussed this, so I'm not sure exactly where things came out, but there was certainly, you know, discussion that the Alpha 3 codes are not, you know, used or at this point, you know, intended to be used for ccTLDs. So I think we discussed moving this into the category of strings that could be applied for potentially accompanied by a documentation supported on objection or at all. You know, there are, you know, close to 50 of these codes that overlap with common words or other things that would be, you know, could have alternate meanings or interest in the GTLD space. So reserving them completely from delegation, you know, seems to be extreme. Note that, of course, the 2007 policy, it's not just inconsistent with the new, with the 2007 policy. The 2007 policy did not make any recommendation with regard to reservation of these strings. So it was a 180 between the policy and the guidebook, and I'm suggesting that perhaps we take it back 90 degrees. Thank you.
Thank you, Greg. I see a hand by Christopher. Christopher, go ahead.
Hi, Christopher Wilkinson again. I have no comments on the recommendation as it stands. I just take this opportunity to flag that I have also later in the document recommended the reservation three-letter for three codes for currencies.
Okay, thank you, Christopher. Any additional comments? I see no hands. There's a bit of background noise. If staff can check if which mic is generating that. Thank you. I still hear it, but let's carry on. Preliminary recommendation number 4.
The sorry, Javier.
Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
It's Martin. Yes. I had a late hand.
Oh, I see. Sorry.
On the last recommendation 3, and just thinking about Greg's comments, I do recall that there were different perspectives put forward on this, and we've ended up as the leadership group as kind of positioning this back in the middle. Yes, there was the discussions about how many of these are generic words as well as three-letter country codes, and that there was the potential to relax restriction. But there were other points that were, one, maintain, you know, no use, or if there was going to be some use, there was a wider debate then that was going to take us outside the loop of this PDP work track, because it was going into the realms of not being GNSO territory. It was more CCNSO. So with that in mind and some of the conversations that took place, especially across email, because there was very lengthy discussions on this, that I do recall one point being raised as, you know, there is a certain number of these that are listed under the list of codes, and it would not be painful, I would say, at this stage to leave that as a restricted list so that they would be unavailable for the time being, but any other three-character code could be applied for other than those residing on this list. So that's why I think we've come to the present recommendation, and that would be covered probably more deeply in the deliberation section when we add that. So I hope that clarifies, but we can revisit, obviously, and just check those again to your points. But I just wanted to make sure that, you know, we understood that there was quite a lot of debate on this. Thanks.
Thank you, Martin. So I saw that Cheryl and Alexander were typing in the chat, but now there's nothing coming up. I don't know if either of you wants to say something at this point. No, I guess not. All right. Cheryl, no. Okay. So if there's no objection, we can carry on. I see no hands. All right, so let's carry on. Preliminary recommendation number 4. The Word Track recommends continuing to consider the following category a country and territory name, which is reserved at the top level and unavailable for delegation, as stated in the 2012 Applicant Guidebook, Section 2.2.1.4.ii. Long form name listed in the ISO 3166-1 standard. This recommendation is a revision to the GNSO policy contained in the introduction of new generic top-level domains policy recommendations from 8 August 2007. However, this recommendation is consistent with the existing provisions in the 2012 Applicant Guidebook, but as currently drafted, it does not address the issue of translations of these strings. Please see questions for community input in Section E. Okay. Every time I do this, I have to then collapse the document to see what's going on in the chat and in the AC room to see if there's hands. I see no hands. I see a comment that is not a comment by Cheryl. Yes. Who is this? Sorry. Something happened during the mic. Yeah, I see hands now. I see a hand by Greg and Christopher. I don't know who's first. I'll give it to Quarter. Go ahead.
You can let Christopher go first, because my comment is actually a super late comment on the previous section. So why don't you let Christopher go first.
Thanks for clarifying that and not letting me commit an injustice here. Christopher, go ahead. Christopher, are you there? Christopher, muted.
And I'm here. And
there you go.
No, it's unmuted. Again, latency. I'm a little bit more liberal than this recommendation, but I don't speak for CCNSO, and I certainly don't speak for AGB. So maybe you just take this as I think the problem is that we have not got an agreement on prior authorization and geographical use. But if it seems to be excessive to prevent countries and and other entities who are authorized from registering these three-letter codes, as a matter of principle. But clearly, as long as we have no consensus on absolute priority for prior authorization and geographical use, we have to maintain this restriction. But it's a price we have to pay. I'm not in favor of open registration of geographical terms for non-geographical use. But if you could solve that problem, you could liberalize this recommendation. Thank you.
Thanks, Christopher. Greg, go ahead.
Thanks. I've got a couple of points now. The first one is, on the previous recommendation 3, do you think we need to clarify that we are not recommending that any 3-character terms on the ISO 3166 list be removed from delegation, and specifically that we are not taking the position that .com should be removed from delegation, because it is on that list, and therefore we've created an inconsistency. So I don't know if we need to make that note, but it is at least a logical inconsistency. I don't know if there are any other already delegated strings on the 3-letter, alpha 3 list, but that at least one kind of jumped out at me. I would hate for someone down the line to think that we were somehow hinting that .com should be removed from delegation because ISO 3166 lists had an absolute preference. And when I heard Christopher mention things like an absolute preference, it seemed to me quite logical that someone could come to that conclusion if one were to think that we could actually end up with something like an absolute preference. So we might want to nip that in the bud. Secondly, I don't think that what Christopher said is correct. I don't think it's a price we have to pay. I don't think there's that the issues of potentially delegating country names in applications by those countries is in any way coupled with the issue of non-geographic use. We could certainly have a category like country names that could, in fact, be delegated. We have, you know, had continent names and other things like that come in. So that's, it seems to me to be perfectly appropriate to say that if Canada wants .canada, that there should be a pathway to them having it. And I don't think that the issue of non-geographic, of terms that have both geographic and non-geographic meanings stops that. You know, and finally, I would say that I'm not in favor of allowing the reservation or the delegation of non-geographic terms for geographic use. Because whether you look at a term as being geographic or non-geographic is entirely a matter of context. Thanks.
Thanks, Greg. Yeah, we definitely want to send the right messages out there and avoid inconsistency to the maximum amount possible. So your comment is well taken, noted. Does anybody want to comment on Greg's comments or any other prior comments? The section itself? I hear none. Very good. So let's, if there's no objection, let's move on. Recommendation number 5. And please, if there's hands, flag them out, because when I'm reading, I put the whole document on and I can see what's going on in the room. Recommendation number 5, the word track recommends continuing to consider the following category, a country and territory name, which is reserved at the top level and unavailable for delegation, as stated in the 2012 applicant guidebook, section 2.2.1.4.1 III. Short form name listed in the ISO 3166-1 standard. This recommendation is a revision to the GNSO policy contained in the introduction of new generic top-level domains policy recommendations from 8 August 2007. However, this recommendation is consistent with the existing provisions in the 2012 applicant guidebook, but as currently drafted, it does not address the issue of translations of these strings. Please see questions for community input in Section E. Did I just reread the same section? No, this is very good. Okay. Let me go back. I see no hands. I see some comments in the chat by a conversation by Chris and Greg. in which I hope they agree to disagree.
Paul's got his hand up now.
Oh, okay. I see Paul. Paul, go ahead.
Thanks. Paul McGrady, for the record. So I guess my question is, I don't understand. We say we recommend continuing something that's in the guidebook, but then we say it's a revision. Essentially, are we saying that the guidebook was inconsistent in this area with GNSO policy?
Oh, that's the question. Martin, want to take a stab at that? I think we're making new policy, which includes clarifying past policy, and we're trying to be as clear as possible. And what we're making, even if we repeat something, it's new, because it's new. But I see a hand by Emily. Emily, go ahead.
Thanks. This is Emily from staff. So this was a request, I think, early on in the recommendation drafting process that some of the members said that they would like to see specifically whether, it would be standard, of course, to look at the existing policy and say if this would be erosion of the policy. So I think initially we had that language in there to say this is a revision to the policy if that's the case. There was a request to also look at the applicant guidebook and say whether it's consistent with the guidebook or a revision to the guidebook. In this case, there's a discrepancy between the guidebook and the policy, so this is attempting to say that essentially it's consistent with the guidebook, but as a revision of the policy. I hope that clarifies. And if you have suggestions for wording this in a different way that's more clear, those are welcome, of course. Thanks.
Thank you. Paul, would you word this in any other way that would be more satisfactory?
Yeah, I think, thank you. This is Paul McGrady again. So I think what I would do here is say something along the line, as noted above, this recommendation is consistent with the existing provisions of the applicant guidebook, as written, right? We say drafted, but the applicant guidebook is finished. I don't think we mean drafted. And we can say, doesn't address the issue of translations of the strings. And then I would say, however, the recommendation we believe is a revision to GNSO policy, contained in the introduction to, new GTLDs, August 8, 2007, right? So I just think that I would put that at the end and clarify drafted as to being as written. And that way it's not quite as jarring, right? Because we go from, we recommend everything to stay the same, but this recommendation is a revision. I think the average reader who's not been participating in this process may find that even more confusing than I do. Thanks.
Thank you, Paul. Very good. I see a hand up by Alan Greenberg. Alan, go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. I agree with Paul that the word drafted is incorrect and misleading. Because it is cast in stone right now, so as written or as published or something, I think it would be the appropriate place in all occurrences of that phrase. However, I agree with the order that is there, because that is the order historically. We had the policy and then the applicant guidebook. And if I remember correctly, the rationale in these cases is it was not part of the policy. It was part of the board's agreement with the GAC prior to release of the GTL of the round, and therefore it was put into the applicant guidebook. These names were reserved, even though they were not reserved at the policy level. So I think the order is correct. The wording needs to be changed or drafted. And perhaps we need an explanation somewhere early on in the document, because this situation occurs a number of times, and we may want to put it in the historic framework to explain why we have a number of cases where this is the case. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. I see a comment by Alexander, so I think he's suggesting language. Oops, please. Thank you. So Alexander suggested some language here, policy as established by the 2012 guidebook. And there's...
It's Alan, if I may intercede. If we use the words and start calling everything in the guidebook policy, we are going to be into a debate we don't want to enter.
Yeah. Do you have grandchildren, Alan? Is that what I hear in the background?
That wasn't mine. That wasn't from my side.
Oh, okay. Okay, all right. Very good. So there's some discussion in the constructive discussion in the chat, but yeah, won't flag that right now. There's a hand by Emily. Emily, go ahead.
Thanks. This is Emily from staff. So I just want to clarify, maybe we can get some additional perspectives on the ordering of that text, because it is something that's obviously repeated in a lot of these recommendations, and it would be helpful to get some guidance about if there's a general feeling of the group about the ordering or how much it matters to everyone. Thanks.
Thank you. So any other suggestions regarding ordering or language or ideas? I think we can take a note of that and think how to word it as discussed here by Alan and others. Emily, your hand is still up. It's still up, I think. Do you want to speak again? It's down. Very good. I see no hands, so let's keep on plowing forward. All right, so preliminary recommendation number 6. The word track recommends continuing to consider the following category a country and territory name, which is reserved at the top level and unavailable for delegation, as stated in the 2012 applicant guidebook section 2.2.1.4.1.4 letter, short or long form name association with a code that has been designated as exceptionally reserved by the ISO 3166 maintenance agency. This recommendation is a revision to the GNSO policy contained in the introduction of new generic top-level domain policy recommendations from 8 August 2007. However, it is consistent with provisions in the 2012 applicant guidebook. I see any comments? Anybody that hasn't spoken? Many people are turning off their microphones. Not everybody has them off. Paul put a comment in the chat still regarding drafting. Thank you very much. Nobody wants to comment on this? I see no hands. There is some conversation in the chat, but if there's no objection, maybe we can keep on going.
Yes, hands up.
Yeah, go ahead. I see it. Yeah, go ahead. Thank you.
Okay, I just want to notice that, you're talking here about, somebody talks about exceptionally reserved. And the only thing that is actually listed, if it is listed somewhere, are the codes. I mean, I know the text to it, so I don't know where this comes from.
The bullet.
Interesting. Thank you, Jeb. Does anybody want to comment about JAP comments on the exceptionally reserved? Martin, anybody from the group? Anybody from staff? Anybody in the chat? Emily, I see a hand. Go ahead.
Thanks, this is Emily from staff. Getting some feedback. Is there an open line? Seems better. So I just wanted to clarify that this is a category that was in the 2012 applicant guidebook. So I'm not sure if that clarifies what the origin is, but that's sort of the genesis of the category as it was discussed. Thanks.
Thank you, Emily.
Yeah.
See two hands. I see a hand by Christopher. I think Jeff's hand is old, but I'll ask after Christopher. Christopher, go ahead.
Thank you, Christopher Wilkinson, for the record. My recollection is that there is the category of exceptionally reserved codes in ISO 3166, but I would have to reread the text to clarify exactly what that refers to in practice in this context. But I would suggest that for the time being you leave the text as it is, and sometime next week I'll go through the 3166 text and come back to you if I have any further comments. But my recollection is that this category does exist and it still exists.
The category of the 3166 doesn't mention any code nor any short or long name of a country. It's not in 3166. So I assume that this is in something which was not correct in the original guidebook as well. So something else is meant there.
Thank you. So I see several hands up. I'm going to take Alan first. Go ahead, Alan.
Yeah, they define exceptionally reserved codes as codes that have been reserved for a particular use at the special request of a national ISO member, governments, or international organizations. For example, the code UK has been reserved for at the request of the United Kingdom, so it cannot be used for any other country. GB is the official two-character code for it, and the Wikipedia also echoes that, but this is directly from the ISO site. So this is in reference to, remember, it's in reference to the code is reserved, but we're talking about the names associated with it, so anyone whose code is reserved. I'm not quite sure why it needs that, because GB is already in the code, and we have the long and short names for it. But I guess we're just covering all bases.
Thank you, Ellen. I see several hands up still. Martin, go ahead, please.
Yeah, thanks, Javier. It's Martin Sutton. Just as a thought here, and I think as we construct the document, we can slot in the actual list. This one I do recall researching months and months back when we first started looking through the whole terms that related to this. I haven't got it handy, but there is a list somewhere that I remember seeing, whether it was something that was appended to the applicant guidebook or was referred to elsewhere to research. I can't recall, but I think just for a matter of formalities for this report, we should actually append a list of wherever we can determine the items listed in this category.
Thank you, Martin. Jab, is that an old hand, new hand? Please go ahead quickly if it's new.
No, it is a new hand.
Go ahead.
There is no list in 3166 for exceptional reserve code. And it just doesn't exist. And there are way more codes reserved, than one thinks, and there are codes which don't have short and long names attached to it. So that's actually the point I'm trying to make, when there is something exceptional, something reserved, it doesn't need to be exceptional. It doesn't mean it is actually connected to a geographic area and the way we talk about it here. So I should be careful in accepting. Going to whether there's a list of that, there used to be a list available on request by the secretariat. I don't know whether anybody ever asked for this list. And there is, overview of all the codes with all the statuses in a previous version of the website, and that's the one you see in Wikipedia. Somebody has actually went in and kind of reconstructed that list. But it's not an official ISO list, and so it will be hard to produce that's one thing I'm saying, and that's in Wikipedia is not not an authoritative place for this.
Thank you, Jeb. Noted. There's a comment in the a suggestion by Susan in the chat, which I think we should all accept. She's basically asking for me not to read the whole document, maybe just go to the recommendation itself. Does anybody have an objection of following Susan's recommendation? I see none. Taken. So let's go back to the document. Let's go back to the document. So we're in preliminary recommendation number 7 now. I'm going to skip the first paragraph and just go into the bullet. Separable component of a country name designated on the separable country names list. This list is included as an appendix to the 2012 applicant guidebook. I'm also going to skip the following paragraph, which is repeated generally in other recommendations. So going into that text, does anybody have any comments on this language? I see no hands. We're getting close to the top of the hour in 5 minutes, and then we have another half an hour, but let's keep on moving if there's no objection. Let's move. There's some general comments in the chat, but let's keep on going. Very good. So moving on to preliminary recommendation number 8, skipping the first paragraph and then going to the bullet, it says, permutation or transposition of any of the names included in items I through B, permutations include removal of spaces, insertion of punctuation, and addition or removal of grammatical articles like quotation. A transposition is considered a change in the name of the long or short form name. For example, Republic Czech or Islands Cayman. There's some examples. I'm going to read the following part also. The WordTrack recommends clarifying the permutations and transpositions of the following strings. The flows are reserved. The WordTrack recommends clarifying that the permutations and transpositions of the following strings are reserved. Long form name listed in the ISO 3166-1 standard. Short form name listed in the ISO 3166-1 standard. Short or long form name association with a code that has been designated as exceptionally reserved by the ISO 3166 maintenance agency. Separable component of a country name designated on the separable countries names list. This list is included as an appendix to the 2012 applicant guidebook. Permutations and transpositions of Alpha 3 code listed in the ISO 3166-1 standard should be allowed. I will not read the finishing language. Anybody has any comments on this longer bit of recommendation here? I see Jap mentions in the chat that the third bullet has the same problem as I mentioned before. No, anybody that hasn't spoken wish to speak? No hands up by nobody, no movement in the chat. I guess we can keep on going. Moving on to preliminary recommendation number 9, skipping the first part and then just going straight to the bullet. Name by which a country is commonly known or demonstrated by evidence that the country is recognized by that name by an intergovernmental or treaty organization. Will not read the following language, which is repeated. Any hands? No hands. We're flying through these sections now. No comments. I think I think Jeff just joined somewhere. So let's keep on going. I see no objections. Let's keep on going. Very good. Preliminary recommendation number 10. Skipping the introductory part and going straight to the bullet. An application for any string that is a representation of the capital city name of any country or territory in the ISO 3166-1 standard. We'll not read the following language because it's generally repeated. Any comments here? I see no comments. I see no hands. I see no movement in the chat. So if there's no objection, I'll just keep on plowing forward. And stop me at any point, please, if you need it so. Going on to preliminary recommendation number 11, which actually has some comments made before by community members and that are reflected here. Skipping the introductory part, going straight bullet. An application for a city name where the applicant declares that it intends to use the GTLD for purposes associated with the city name. An application for a city name will be subject to the geographic names requirements, i.e., will require documentation of support or non-objection from the relevant government or public authorities. If A, it is clear from applicant statements within the application that the applicant will use the TLD primarily for purposes associated with that city name, and B, the applied for string is a city name as listed on official city documents. We'll not read the ending language, which is repeated. I see a hand by Alexander.
Yes, this is this is Alexander Schubert. You said initially that you're not reading the introduction, and then occupied to get my microphone, because the introduction now changed. Now it says you need a letter from the government and so on and so forth. So now it's not anymore the standard introduction of the other pieces.
Well, good point. Let's just go and read it again. Very good. So let's go and read it again. So it goes. Preliminary recommendation number 12. Number 11, sorry. The WordTrack recommends continuing to consider the following category a geographic name requiring government support at the top level. Application for these strings must be accompanied by documentation of support or non-objection from the relevant government or public authorities. Yeah, and read the rest. Thank you, Alexander, for that flag. If there's no objection, can we go to commentary, hands? You can also read it yourself and go ahead and tell me. I see there's some comments on the side of this section. I see no hands. Let me make sure then if I go forward that I read anything that's... there's a hand by Greg. Go ahead.
Sorry, Greg Shatton, for the record. As I said, I had to step away, and I said BRB, which stands for Be Right Back, not Barbados. On preliminary recommendation number 11, what is now being recommended as a change? I'm sorry. Ask again. Sorry.
All right, so... What we're reading here, number 11, it says, the WordTrack recommends continuing to consider the following category a geographic name requiring government support at the top level. Applications for these strings must be accompanied by documentation of support or non-objection from the relevant government or public authorities. An application for a city name where the applicant declares that it intends to use the GTLD for purposes associated with that city name. An application for a city name will be subject to the geographic names requirement will require documentation of support or non-objection from the relevant governments or public authorities. it is if A, it is clear from the applicant's statements within the application that the applicant will use the TLD primarily for purposes associated with that city name, and B, the applied string is a city name as listed in official city documents. So that's what we're dealing with. Greg, go ahead.
No further comments at the moment. Thanks.
Oh, I see. Very good. There's a hand by Emily. Emily, go ahead.
Thanks, Javier. This is Emily from SAS. I just wanted to highlight a couple of comments on this recommendation that came in over the mailing list. So we had a comment from Christopher Wilkinson where he says that the text here and elsewhere omits to refer to the issue of non-geographical use, and has a bunch more text that I encourage everyone to read specifically about that. And just wanted to highlight from the staff perspective that a discussion of intended use in different contexts, including in the context of city names, is included in the deliberation section. So look out for that. It will include pros and cons and some of the different positions taken. So I hope that that's helpful. And then Jorge Cancio had also a comment on this recommendation. Similarly mentioning that intended use had been hotly debated in this work track, and he said from his perspective he feels that it's premature to include this as a preliminary recommendation as it stands. So that might be something to discuss further in this group. Thanks.
Thank you, Emily. Yes, there was a lot of discussion on that in the prior call, and there's some in the email. Alexander, I see a hand. Please go ahead.
Yes, this is Alexander Schubert, again, for the record. If I look at the text, and I raised this several times, and I think a few people supported me and others were against it, we have this word or the description primarily for the purpose associated with the city name. That kind of means if someone just mentions, yeah, it will be also for the city, but for many other things as well, then it's not anymore primarily, and he doesn't need a letter. So if we maybe could at least think about the word primarily, if it is associated, or if the use is associated with the city, well, then it needs a letter from the city. Otherwise, for almost any city name, you could claim, well, it's for all kinds of stuff and also for the city.
Thank you, Alexander. Does anybody have a comment on Alexander's comment or the section or the comments made on the side? I see a comment. I see a hand by Greg. Greg, go ahead.
Thanks. Greg Shatton for the record. I can see a lot of mischief going on in the if we remove the word primarily, where one could assert that, you know, selling a domain name, a single domain name to somebody living in that city somehow means that you're using it in for purposes associated with the city name. Maybe primarily isn't quite the word either, but I think we need to avoid kind of unintended consequences. Part of it here, too, is the question of when it says the applicant will use the TLD, I guess there's a question of what using a TLD means. This may have been, I assume that includes selling to the general public, or is that not a use, or is it only a use if the TLD is used like in a dot brand where the applicant itself uses the TLD? Use is kind of an odd word here, maybe appropriately vague, but certainly vague. So, part of it is to try to decide what we're getting at here. I share a concern with just opening things up to gaming in either direction. But I think the intent is to really have as clearly as possible kind of two separate swim lanes here, and having somebody pretend they're in when they're really
largely or, you know, in the other, you know, is not good for anybody, and certainly not good for the good of the order. Thanks.
Thank you, Greg. Thank you for that. I see Alexandra. Alexandra, if you could also... Go ahead.
Just one minute. It's Alexandra Schubert. It's just 30 seconds, actually. To respond to Greg, well, one could also take the opposite stance and say if the applicant considers any use for the city, he will have to get a letter from the city. So the applicant has actually to make sure that there is no use for the city. And in the case of a brand, it's fine because it's a closed TOD and nothing will happen. But if someone goes for .Chicago and says, well, it's for all kinds of proposals and maybe also a little bit for the city, we actually have no plan, and then they're marketed only to the city, no, that doesn't really work well. Finished.
Thank you. I see in the chat Paul saying that he has trouble following what Alexander was saying. Paul, do you want to go, you know, ask a question to Alexander open here? I don't know if you're talking about a previous part or right now. Paul is writing in the chat. Maybe they'll can. Previous. Okay. Yeah. So, you wanna speak on this, Paul?
Hey, thanks. This is Paul McGrady for the record. No, I just Alexander was talking very quickly, but I think I've been able to deduce from Greg's response and then from Alexander's response to Greg's response what was meant to be said. This is a topic that we've spent quite a bit of time and effort on the list, I'm not exactly sure where we are on this in terms of you know, whether or not it's prepared, you know, it's right to be in this report, and I'll leave that to everybody else. But I just would like to note that there's been quite a bit of back and forth on this, and you know, there are a handful of people who are pressing hard on this, but there's also, you know, some folks that are very, you know, clear in this area, people, including myself, that I think that we need to really take a look at whether or not we want to foreclose a bunch of words unnecessarily if those uses are not in any way tied to making the false representation that you're associated with the city itself. Thanks.
Thanks. I see a hand by Jeff, but before we go in there, there's a comment on the chat by Robin in her always very clear pink text. I disagree with recommendation number 11 as it ignores free expression rights to use words with geographic meaning in lawful ways. Thank you. Comment noted. Robin and Jeff, go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Jeff Newman. I just wanted to just respond to Greg's comment on the word use and to some extent, Alexander as well, in the word primarily. This language was actually in the guidebook for 2012. I'm not saying that the guidebook language was perfect at all, but I don't recall this ever becoming an issue with a city name. It may have been an issue in other aspects. But before we go about changing and expressing concerns about this language, let's think about what happened in 2012. If in 2012 we thought there was an issue with the wording, or it was unclear, or you know, there were problems from the city name provision, then I think then we can work on changing the language. But at this point, just looking that it is pretty much the same language, the word primarily is in there. The word use is in that section. This is page 2-17 of the guidebook. So this is wording that was there for the most part, and I would just urge us not to come up with problems if they were not shown to be problems previously. And to respond to Alexander's comment, on page 2-17, in sub-bullet A of the applicant guidebook, it does talk about, quote, it is clear from the applicant statements within the application that the applicant would use the TLD primarily for purposes associated with the city name. So that's in there. Again, maybe it's not the exact wording, but let's just see if the main point is, was there an issue for this particular city name provision? Thanks.
Thanks, Jeff. You know, and having conversations with Steve, you know, things like this, maybe, Steve, you can jump in and maybe take a stab at what we've spoken about this before.
Thanks, Javier. This is Steve Chan from staff. And I guess sort of at the risk of overstepping the staff bounds, I just wanted to take the opportunity to try to remind the work track that there's a number of levers that could be pulled within this process. So, for instance, I guess touching on the concern that Alexander raised about a TLD that asserts that it will not use it for a non-geo purpose, but then once the TLD is launched, it does actually engage in marketing to a city. So one of the things that the work track could consider is the other mechanisms that it has at its disposal. So, for instance, putting in a contractual requirement, which was not there for the 2012 round, except in a more general sense, but maybe something more specific about requirements related to continuing to not use the TLD in a geographic sense. I thought I got a note about audio dropping. That's someone else's audio. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks, Steve. Good point on contractual requirements and non-geo use. There's some movement in the chat. Primarily, yeah, just people going on. No hands. We're at 15 in the hour, so if there's no objection, let's keep on moving forward. So, up to preliminary recommendation number 13, and I'll read the whole thing. The beginning. The Word Track recommends continuing to consider the following category as a geographic name requiring government support at the top level. Applicants for these strings must be accompanied by documentation of support or non-objection from the relevant government or public authorities. Bullet. An application for a string listed as a UNESCO region, and it has a footnote which links to the page, or appearing on the composition of macro-geographical continental regions, geographical subregions, and selected economic and other groupings list. There's a footnote there also. In the case of an application for a string appearing on either of these of the lists above, documentation of support will be required from at least 60% of the respective national governments in the region, and there may be no more than one written statement of objection to the application from relevant governments in the region and or public authorities associated with the continent or the region. Where the 60% rule is applied and there are common regions on both lists, the regional composition contained in the composition of macro geographical continental regions, geographical subregions, and selected economic and other groupings takes precedence. I will read the last part. Any comments? Any?
Javier, it's Martin Sutton here. I've just to point out from the chat that we've skipped one of the items and it had some comments in there. So if we could just nip back to recommendation 12.
All right. So
regarding subject names.
Sorry for that. So let's go back to 12. Yeah. The preliminary recommendation number 12. The Word Track recommends continuing to consider the following category a geographic name requiring government support at the top level. Applications for these strings must be accompanied by documentation of support or non-objection from the relevant government or public authorities. Bullet. An application for any string that is an exact match of a subnational place name, such as a county, province or state listed in the ISO 3166-2 standard. We'll read the rest. Any comments? Hand by Christopher. Go ahead.
Thank you, Javier. In my written comments, I linked the question of the currency to this recommendation 12. That's arbitrary. I think we need a separate recommendation dealing with the currency codes. In other respects, TLDs referencing regulated markets or businesses are treated specifically. The currency codes are very important in the financial markets. My experience of the economics and finances of international trade may be a bit rusty, but I certainly argue, and I've made the case in a response to Jaap Akkerhoest recently, I would certainly argue, and I have done on several occasions in this context, including the face-to-face meeting in Helsinki, I would argue that it is extremely important to make sure that the currency codes, which are three-letter codes derived from 3166, are protected. Otherwise, we expose ourselves and we expose the ICANN to potentially serious problems because top-level domains of currency codes, for example, USD, could be abused. Doesn't take very much imagination to work out how. I definitely think that there's a lacuna here that in spite of two or three proddings on my part, the co-chairs and the staff have to date ignored. I think that's a mistake. Thank you.
Great comment noted, Christopher. There's an echo there. Okay. Some comments in the chat, but let's go first to Greg. Greg, go ahead.
Thanks. Greg Chatton, for the record, a little distracted by Christopher having brought this up here where I don't really think it fits as he notes it. It's arbitrary, but so I'll just kind of get that out of the way by saying that I don't support the introduction here, the idea of reserving the currency codes. And I would have to say it's if that were the case, .top would not have been registered, and maybe, depending upon what one's view of things going on in that particular domain, maybe that wouldn't have been a bad thing. I'll have to say this is a nice try, which is the Turkish lira, by the way. But in any case, I'll grab my pen, which is the Peruvian sol, and write about this at another time. On the actual subject of the topic that is in writing in front of us, I think that this is really prime, and I think we discussed this at length. I'm not sure how we arrived at this recommendation being in this way, that the subnational place names should, like the city names, non-capital city names, be open for reservation for non-geographic uses without the need for a letter of support or non-objection. There are literally thousands, if not tens of thousands, of counties in the United States alone, very little kind of privilege that should be attached to this. Of course, if any of those counties, provinces, or states feel like, applying, more power to them. Would love to see it happen, but, according, a privilege to such, to kind of every kind of square that can be drawn around an area, just seems to be too far. I think the compromise is to allow for the second swim lane for those that are not using it in its geographic context.
I think that obviously the poster child for this being unfair is Dot Tata. I don't represent them, not talking as a brand owner representative at all, but it just seemed to me to be rather a sad result, and I don't know if people were happier about it, but I did not think it was, an appropriate result at the time. This is just a very, very long list of names that, we shouldn't be giving this kind of absolute privilege to say yes or no when it has nothing to do with their, when it's a non-geographic term as well as a geographic one. Thanks.
Thanks, Greg. There's some conversation in the chat on, on scope and banknotes and interesting. I'm not going to go in there right now where it's 24 minutes over the hour. So maybe we can do a few more sections, but we're really closing in on the half hour. So I mistakenly read recommendation 13. So it's pretty long. I'll ask you don't read it again, and maybe as you have read it and heard it, if there's any comments on preliminary recommendation number 13. There is some discussion in the chat on it, or the previous. Any hands? Anybody that hasn't spoken? Anybody that wants to make a statement, a question? So if there's no objection, let's move on quickly to section number 14. Okay, so wait. This is, all right, so we're moving now to a subsection D. The question is, do we want to start with this now? Or should we stop here for any other business? Any recommendations here? Martin? I think we should...
Hi, Javier. I think it might be a good point just to break off and cover ICANN 63. Any points there? But before we do that, and I was just writing a comment in here in that just regarding the currency codes. I just wanted to clarify that opinions have not been ignored. I think where there has been substantial support and discussion on driving forward anything, we've tried to accommodate that. But I don't recall there being any real support for treading into currency codes within Work Track 5, which is about geographic terms. If anybody thinks otherwise, please raise their hands. Christopher's put in the point in his comments. So if there is anybody that supports that, and we'll take that on board as a consideration, but I've not heard it. Thank you.
Thanks, Martin. And just to remind everybody in the work track that these three sections, we encourage you to just look at them and send your comments during the next week, a week from now. Have more comments on these three sections in the email list, and we'll keep on putting them, considering them and putting them on the comments. There's plenty of time to finish this up, but just take a fresh look and send your comments. On ICANN 63, maybe staff can speak on ICANN 63. Go ahead, Emily.
Thanks, Javier. This is Emily from staff. So just to do a little bit of a recap of kind of where we are and where we're headed for ICANN 63, coming back to the work plan
So at this stage, we've released three sort of subsections of the initial report. The co-leaders have given an initial week for people to review that. It looks like we've only gotten a few comments so far from a couple of different people. So I think the idea is that maybe we'll give people another week, so a week from today, to review those sections and submit comments. And right around that time, we'll also be releasing the additional sections of the initial report, so we'll have a full package of the initial report at that time. And that'll be prior to ICANN 63. So that means that everyone will have a bit of time before ICANN 63 to go through the report and do some review. And I think the idea is, in addition to doing some status updates and outreach for those sessions at ICANN 63, we'll also have some time to talk about the initial report, talk about any gaps that might exist or items that might need further discussion, and kind of have some focus time to also potentially get broader community input on issues where it seems that that's needed. So that's the plan so far, and we have three back-to-back sessions on that Saturday, starting at 9 a.m. and ending at 1:15 p.m. local time, with two breaks in between. And lunch will be served during that last session for work track right. members. So if you show up, there will be a box lunch waiting for you. Thanks.
Great. Thanks, Emily. So quickly, if there's any other business, anybody, quickly for a minute. So I see no hands for any other business. Thank you all for your patience and your great comments. And this call is adjourned or stopped until the next one. Bye to all.